saints, today is the third Sunday of Lent. It is really moving, isn't it? How are we doing with our commitments? You know how we all, at our Lenten service, we make commitments. Either we were going to give up some things or we're going to start doing things. Like maybe saying, I love you to someone every day. Things like that. How are we doing with our Lenten commitments? All right. Somebody say, oops. All right. God will forgive you. You can start right back at this very moment. Amen. Praise God. And as we are in the season of Lent, we're on a journey, saints, that takes us through the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lent is a time for us to meditate and for us to reflect on the life of Jesus Christ. To realize and appreciate what Jesus has done for us. You're an awesome God, Lord, and we love you today. And it's also a time for us to reflect upon our lives. Say my life. And my relationship with God. Amen. Lent is a time for that as well. Hallelujah. So as we continue on this 40-day journey leading up to Easter, I want you to hold on to those commitments that you've made that the Lord can use to shape you and change you, and spend time reflecting on the grace and mercy of God in your life. Spend time meditating and reflecting and praying. Let it be a time of healing. Let it be a time of God changing your heart and your life. Let it be a time of renewal. Anybody need a little renewing in your life? Amen. Renewal for your soul. Amen. So letting this Lenten journey be just that for you. How many remember growing up with Flip Wilson? Everybody remember Flip Wilson? Raise your hand if you do. All right. Just like in the first service, just us old folks raised our hand. All right. All the young people, none of them knew who Flip Wilson. All right. For those of us who know Flip Wilson, how many remember his character? Well, she was my favorite character. What was her name? Geraldine. She had a mini skirt on. It was tight. She would be just telling people off. She was so funny. And one of her most popular saying was what? The devil made me do it. Amen. The devil and Flip Wilson could do that thing. Amen. Well, today, saints, I want us to realize that the devil doesn't make us do anything. All right? I will say that the devil gives us opportunities. Everybody say opportunities. Opportunities to do things. Amen. And these opportunities are called temptations. All right, they're called temptations. But even though the devil may tempt us, we still have our own will. Amen. We still have our own free choice. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a woman who bought an extravagant dress. And her husband asked, why did you have to buy such an extravagant, expensive dress? She said, well, the devil made me buy it. And her husband asked, well, why didn't you say, get behind me, Satan? And his wife said, I did. And he said, it looked as good in the back as it did in the front. And so I bought it. Oops. All right. We're laughing at that, sister. But how many know we all have fallen into some temptation, amen? We all have yielded, amen, amen. Temptation is something that all of us have to deal with. Everybody say, all of us, all of us. There's not a person on this earth that is exempt from temptation. And if the devil would tempt Jesus, then my friend, you better believe the devil is going to tempt you too. Amen. Have you ever wondered why it seems like the door of opportunity knocks only every once in a while? But oh, that temptation, it's knocking every day. Every day you can hear it knocking. Oh, temptation is an everyday thing. It's common to be tempted. In fact, would you tell your neighbor right now, if you're not being tempted, something is wrong with you. If you're not being tempted, something is wrong with you. All right. If you're alive, then you are being tempted. All right. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. I die daily to self. Hallelujah. I die daily. So the title of our message for today is what, saints? All right. This we'll say it together. praise your name, Lord God. Lord, you're worthy of all praise.
Oh, yes.
And as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word,
yes,
we say, speak, O Lord,
yes,
for we, your servants, are listening.
Yes.
And may we not be just hearers, but also doers,
yes,
of your holy,
yes,
word.
Lord.
And we thank you ahead of time,
thank
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank
and all God's saints said,
amen.
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 Amen. Saints, you'll notice inside your order of service, there is a sermon note sheet. If you would get that out at this time. What is the first truth about temptation? What is the first truth? I printed there today. All right, amen. Let's read that together. Temptation is not a sin. All right. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted, but it also says Jesus was without sin. Therefore, temptation cannot be sin. It's only when we give in. Everybody say, give in.
Yeah.
Give in to our temptation that it becomes a sin.
That's it.
Hallelujah. To help us better understand this, temptation is like sin in an incubator. We begin with the idea or thought in our minds. We begin playing around with it. And then we just keep thinking about it a little bit. And it starts to get warmer and warmer with all those, what if I did do that? What if I did go there? You know, that's not all that bad if I did wear that and if I did do this. And you know, as we continue to rationalize our thoughts, the incubator gets warmer and warmer. And the longer we dwell on that temptation, it begins to grow. It begins to grow and take root. And before we know it, it's become a living-sized sin within us against God. That's why it's important not to play with temptation. Not to play with temptation. We look in the Word, and as Jesus was tempted, we see he didn't hesitate to put an end to it. Jesus immediately, everybody say immediately, immediately confronted his temptation and brought it to a closure. Amen. How many of you heard it said, if you play with fire, you will eventually get
burned.
You will get burned. Amen. And that is truer than we think, saints. But when we play with temptation, we are playing with the fires of hell. And as our temptations grow into sin, we're drawn closer and closer to those fires. Don't let the temptations in the incubator of your mind, my friend, grow into sin. As Barney Fife, how many remember Barney Fife? Once again, okay, there's a few. I can see some of the teenagers know Barney. All right. As Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, just nip it in the bud. Whatever it says. Hallelujah. Now, saints, the second thing we need to realize, and let's say this together, temptation is actually good for us. All right, now, I know you say, what? How in the world can temptation be good for us? Well, because it's a God thing. Temptation is the stuff that we Christians are made of. If the devil never tempts us, how can we develop our resistance against sin? How can we grow strong if the devil never tempted us? Well, I'm not sure if you caught this as Gail read this morning, but in verse 1 in our scripture, it says Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Imagine that. Who led Jesus into the wilderness?
The Holy Spirit.
The Spirit. And why did the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? To be tempted by the devil. The Bible clearly says that the Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That was the whole purpose. And I think now is a good time for us to understand the biblical meaning of the word temptation. Temptation means to test. It means to prove. Therefore, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested by the devil as a means of proving himself to God. Now, my dad worked in the steel industry in Canton, Ohio, and he worked for the Timken Company. Anybody ever hear of the Timken Company? Well, my sister Susan and I, we got to go on field trips to the Timken Company, to our dad's workplace, to see what he did. And they would take, it was so hot in there, they would take this scrap metal and they would throw it into the fire and it would melt down and it would form into what my dad called rebar, which is used for adding strength in construction and in foundations. And then the metal is liquefied in the fire, and the weak parts are burned off, and they're burned into smoke that goes up. And after this process, what's left is strong, pure metal. I mean pure metal. Well, temptation is the process of testing us, saints, to see if we are for real. Yeah. Touch your neighbor and ask your neighbor, are you for real? Are you for real? You see, we're in a battle. This is a battle against flesh and the spirit. We're in a battle. And the results will be indicated. Hallelujah. If we're closer to heaven or if we're closer to earth. Saints, temptations are necessary. Say that with me. Temptations are necessary. Because they teach us several things. You know, they aren't there to weaken us. They're there to make us stronger. They're not there to make us bad. They're there to make us better. They aren't there as a penalty. They're in our lives as a privilege to be able to prove ourselves to God. Hallelujah. They are there to strengthen us for God's purpose. Anybody want to be strengthened for God's purpose? You want to be used mightily for the Lord? Then you've got to be strengthened. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but
joy.
Joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Ooh, that sounds good to me. But, everybody say but.
But.
It all depends on the results. It depends on how we handle the test, whether we pass or fail. Let me say something to all of us, but especially to our young people for a moment. All of us face temptations every day, amen? But I'm just feeling for our young people. You are at such risk. It is such a hard, cruel world out there. And especially being a young person these days, you all are faced with so many temptations. There's drugs and alcohol, parties and sex, pornography. There's a need to be accepted by the crowd to do things that aren't pleasing to God so you can fit in. There's a desire to have the pleasures of the world. There is a desire to experience all that you can of life, to find yourself, to have meaning and purpose. And the chances that you might experience an experiment with some of these things could be great. Drugs, sex, alcohol, all of that, pornography. But let me tell you something, young people, and for us old saints as well. I want to help you to avoid some of the heartache and pain that could await you. Because that's what sex and drugs and alcohol and pornography, all that stuff does, it's of the devil. Ultimately, the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy our families and our community. Oh, these things are ultimately of the devil. But I've got good news for us today. Hallelujah. First of all, you're in this church this morning. Praise God. Here at Glenville New Life, we're here growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our theme for this year is what?
Rise
up and choose Christ. Hallelujah. So touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're in the right place. You are in the right place. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you've been blessed to have been raised in a Christian family, just praise God for that. If you've been here at Glenville New Life for a period of time, you know right from wrong. You know good from bad. Hallelujah. You have the background. You have the tools. But, everybody say but. But, do you have the courage? Do you have the courage to stand against the devil? To say no? Do you have the courage to rise up and choose Christ? The devil is a big, mean, ugly, cheating, stealing. The Bible says He prowls around like a lion.
Yes.
Seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to tear up your family. He wants to bring you heartache and shame. He wants to destroy you. Now, many times we're tempted to do things we know that are wrong, but we don't have the courage to say no. Get behind me, Satan. I'm rising up and I'm choosing Christ in this situation. We don't have the courage. We think to ourselves, well, I am young and, you know, I'm supposed to be trying to find myself. And how else am I going to find myself if I don't try some of this stuff? It's just a part of the process of growing up. But it's not true. That's the devil talking to you. And let me help us today, saints, through our temptations by reminding us of some biblical truths. The first is, you are not alone. Amen. Look to your neighbor. You are not alone. Tell your neighbor, you're not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. Who was with Jesus in the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him in there. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus. So remember, you're not fighting your battle by yourself. If we was fighting our battle by ourselves, we would have been through a long time ago. We would have no chance. We have no chance to win on our own. We are not alone. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Spirit. Oh, even if you think of that, you are not alone. And the Holy Spirit said, I am here with you. At least sing that to yourself. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. He ended it something like, you're not alone. You're not alone. Now I want you to say right now, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I am not alone. I have the Holy Spirit in me, through me, all around me. I am not alone. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So I can get it right. I can keep it tight. Hallelujah. Then the second thing I want us to know, saints, is remember who you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, remember who you are. Remember who you are. That might sound simple, but sometimes we forget who we are, saints. Let God establish your identity. Who does God say you are today, saints? You are blood bought by the living God. You are a child of God, the Almighty, the Creator of the universe. You are God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the heir of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are a temple. That's who you are. Hallelujah. You are empowered by Christ's witness. You bear the seal of the Holy Spirit so that nothing could take you out of God's hand. Nothing. So who are you today? We need to daily remember who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. When we remember who we are and whose we are, we will be empowered, we'll be energized to live a victorious life, overcoming life, when we know our real identity. Look at the person next to you and say, who are you? Who are you? All right. Prayerfully, everybody can say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. All right, I'm a child of God. John 1:12 says, to all who received him, those who believe on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. Saints, one of Satan's most effective devices is to get we Christians to be ignorant of our true identity. And the devil is an expert of doing this. He tried to do it on Jesus. And he'll do it on any one of us as well. The devil thought he could confuse Jesus by saying, if you be the Son of God, then command these stuff. If you, what was the devil trying to do? The devil was trying to make Jesus doubt his identity. It means if Jesus didn't know who he was, the devil would have gotten away with his trick. And that didn't discourage the devil. He came back again. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down because your foot will not hit the stone. Again, Jesus defended him and defeated himself, but he came back again for the third time. If you again, and he just had to let him know, just get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. Get behind me, Satan. Just like Jesus knew who he was, we must know who we are.
Yes.
Now, you know, the prodigal son in the New Testament, he yielded to a lot of temptation. He said, I'm young. I want to go out and I want to party. I want to have all the women I want. I want to drink. I want to gamble. I want to do anything I want when I want to do it, and nobody going to tell me what to do. You know right there that something is really wrong. You tell me you don't want nobody telling you what to do. And so he just yielded to every temptation that came his way. He turned out to be rotten and bad. And the Bible records that he got to his stage in life. And I love this. When one day when he was sitting in that pig pen, eating the slop with the pig, scripture says, and he came to himself. Hallelujah! He came to himself and began to realize, well, who am I? Why am I sitting here looking and kissing with these pigs and eating they slop? I've got a father that I can rise up and go home to. He began to see himself the correct way. He realized whose son he was a son of. He was a son, not a slave. He decided that he would arise. He would get up out of that mess and that he would go to his father. Saints, the devil will whip people backwards and forwards. Hallelujah. If you don't know who you are, he will whip your back all over the place if you don't know who you are. You must know who you are. Tell your neighbor, you must know who you are. You must know who you are. Hallelujah. Jesus was always talking about whom and what he was. He was always talking about what his mission was in life. He said that I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. So today, know who you are. And when I say, who are you? I'm not asking for your name or anything like that. Because you know what? You can put a donkey somewhere and call it a horse. You can dress it like a horse and it won't mind. It won't mind. But when it comes for the time to run, it's then when everybody knows, even if its name is Mr. Horse, we know that it's a donkey and another horse. Because he's going to kick you and just say, leave me alone. Because I really ain't no horse, all right? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So first of all, you must be born again. And you must discover, Lord, who am I in you? What are the spiritual gifts? What are the talents you placed in me? How do you want me to use it, Lord, for your glory and to your blessing in this world? God knew what God had in mind when God created you. Hallelujah. And God will show you, praise God. I want to just encourage you to see yourself, think yourself, talk about yourself the way God does and not the way the devil does. And I have grown in this area myself. I used to just beat myself, put myself down, made a mistake, call myself all kinds of names, and then I began growing. That's not the way God sees me. That's the way the devil sees me, and I'm going to start calling myself what God sees me. Hallelujah. And then I want to encourage you, everybody say, disconnect. Disconnect yourself from negative past experiences. Paul said, forgetting all those things that are behind, I look forward. You know, some people, we continue to blame ourselves for past mistakes. You know, we just keep attributing present problems to what we did way back there. God bent and forgave that. You asked in sincere repentance, God has already forgiven that. God forgets. That's why we have to come before God in complete and sincere repentance. The Lord says if you will confess your sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive you of those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So disconnect yourself from past mistakes. Just forgive yourself and move onward. Now, I want to commend to you, do not compare yourself with other people. All right? Because you are unique. Tell the person next to you, you are unique. You are unique. Yes. You are unique. You are unique. Hallelujah. Each person is different from another. There's not one of us in this sanctuary today that is the same. The Bible says there is no wisdom in comparing ourselves one to another. And another thing, write this down. Watch your tongue. Hallelujah. Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. And especially what you say about yourself. Don't you know that the words you speak about yourself and your situation matter? Those things place to say playfully, oh, you know, I didn't mean to. I hear people call each other dog. Come here, dog, do this. What? That's don't call nobody a dog, all except right. A dog. Okay. You call a dog, and that's it. No people. You call no human being a dog.
Right.
But these things matter. We think we're being funny. Stop saying that. It does matter.
Right.
It does matter.
Yeah.
Jot this down. Have wise friends. Have wise friends. Those will make your life better.
Yeah.
Anyone that advises you, for example, go ahead and marry them. They an unbeliever, but somehow down the road, God will fix it up.
Yeah.
Go ahead on and marry them. Somehow along, they're going to find God.
Yeah.
No, no, that's not any wise advice. No, that ain't no good friend telling you to do that. Because the Word of God says if you need to be equally yoked. And if you're not, then you don't need to get married. You don't need to do that. So you got to have wise friends to give you biblical and good counsel. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Jot this down, saints. Walk in holiness. Walk in honesty and integrity. The Bible says nothing good will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. And always think positively. Don't engage in negative thoughts. Because the Bible says a person thinks in their heart, so he or she will be. Avoid negative, destructive influences. If you notice the things that someone else is doing are affecting you negatively, then you you better run. You better run. Hallelujah. If you find out that whenever you move close to the opposite sex, and your body is reacting and you feeling tingle, tangles, and something else, jangles, all right? When the person is not your husband or not your wife,
come on,
you had better run.
You better run.
Say run. You better run. You better run.
Yeah.
Don't wait until you're captured.
That's right.
Before looking for a way of escape.
Glory.
Today is the day that you must cry to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. If you're in the wrong place in your life right now, you've been yielding to temptations in your life. You just cry to the Lord right now. Help me, Lord. I repent. Help me, Lord. Help me turn around. Help me turn around. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Cry unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to know who we are. Some people who should not be even thinking of marriage yet or getting married because they don't know who they are. Look around. Oh, everybody else getting married. I think I get married too. No. Oh, well, my time. But it's not the time bomb. They say something is ticking. Something is ticking. So I got to, no. You wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. So you can have joy and escape many problems. Hallelujah. Cry unto the Lord, my friend. God's got something very good for you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Know who you are. Saints, temptations in our lives, they don't have to be a hindrance, saints, but we can put them beneath our feet. We can put them under our feet, and as we put them under our feet, we find ourselves rising to higher ground. Put those temptations under your feet. Get it right and keep it tight. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, if you would look at your notes, we're going to end up making this a part two. So I'm going to stop at this point, but I would like to ask you to read the book of Nehemiah, because we're going to start there, how to overcome distractions. So I'm going to ask you to read Nehemiah chapter 6. Now, you may even get excited as you're reading the Word of God and decide to read the whole book of Nehemiah, because it really doesn't take that long, and it is an awesome book. And if you would turn over, I want you all to reflect over these, what saints need to know about the dangers of spiritual warfare